Today, I talked to the A player that Alex Hormozi just hired to run all of his content strategy.
I'm not just thinking about content, like I think strategically about like how to drive to the content.
His name is Caleb Ralston, and believe me, you've probably consumed hours of the content he's created over the past 4 years. After a couple of years of doing some freelance work, Caleb joined Gary Vaynerchuk's personal content team in 2018, and he absolutely crushed it. So when Gary started doubling down on TikTok, he asked Caleb to manage the account. And over the next 12 months, Caleb took it from 300,000 to 1.5 million followers. I sat down with Caleb to ask him how the heck he got a job with these two legendary entrepreneurs. We talked about what it's like working so closely with them. We also break down behind the scenes content strategies that Gary and Alex Hormozi's teams use. And finally, we discuss Caleb's plan for Alex Hormozi's content over the next 12 months.
So Caleb, welcome to the show. Super happy to have you. I want to start off, dive straight into it. I want to ask you if you can tell me the story of how you got a job with Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, I will try to make it as quick as possible. So basically, I was living in Bellingham, Washington. Minor context, I read Gary's book, Crush It, when I was 15. My mentor at the time, Sean Cannell, gave it to me, and I read it, and I was like, holy shit, this is super legit. And this is the way, like, people are going to be making money, making videos and all that. So I pursued video, was doing that, living in Bellingham, Washington. I had stopped consuming his content, you know, like the thing that Gary was saying, like, if you're watching my shit, after a while, it's the same shit over and over, go and do. So I did that. And I was freelancing at the time, had some great clients. And my, like, one of my best friends, Jordan, he texted me randomly and was like, sent me a screenshot of Gary posting on his IG story saying they were looking for videographers. And he was like, dude, you should apply. You should hit him up. And by the way, this is a friend that never says that. Like, it's not a friend that's always like, you should do this. Like, he's never said anything like you should in our whole friendship before. And so I was like, wow, this is like weird. I'm going to go for it. So what I did is I emailed D-Rock, Mr. David Rock, who is the GOAT. I decided I was going to harass him basically in a smart way. There's harassment that is not good and really brutal, I think. But then there's also like being very intentional with it and always providing more value each time you follow up. And for me, what I did is I was literally sitting editing a video eating chicken nuggets, dipping in like ketchup and honey mustard at the time. So I grabbed my phone, recorded a video, and I basically said like, hey, D-Rock, like I eat, breathe, no sleep video. So I'm literally sitting here right now as I record this because I just saw your posting. I'm eating chicken nuggets and editing this video for my client. I would love an opportunity to talk with you about working together. And didn't hear back. So I followed up 2 days later, or actually probably 24 hours later with another video and then another one. So I kept following up. Eventually he responded. He was like, hey man, sorry, I've been sick. I've been out. I haven't been checking my email. Would love to have a phone call with you. So then I hopped on a call with him and Tyler Babin. And we just like talked through kind of what I've done, what my passions are, etc. And they were like, cool, we have two awesome options for you. There's Vayner Talent and there's PureWow. I was like, okay, cool. Like that was, you know, I didn't know what to expect going into it. I didn't know if it was for Team Gary or one of the, you know, tons of different teams that are within VaynerX. So after thinking for a while, I was like, wow, PureWow would be a very interesting endeavor for me. Like it's a women's lifestyle publisher. And that is like a space that I had not been in. Previously before that, I had worked at a Bible software company. I had worked with motorcycle companies. I had worked with I-502 legal cannabis companies in Washington. So like one thing I very much admire or look for in, for me in my career is like a wide variety of subject matter. Like I like learning different industries and stuff. So PureWow seemed very appealing to me. Also, I loved the idea of being like working at a company that was like predominantly women. I had never worked in an environment that was that way. I worked in software before, which is traditionally very male dominated. So it just seemed like a really cool opportunity and anything to get closer to Gary, right? So went through the conversation with Mary Kate over at PureWow, who is awesome, by the way. She's the absolute best. It was great. Like we talked, I got the job. 2 weeks later, I was like, living in New York. So I just like grabbed the easiest apartment that I could. Didn't even go out to look at the apartment, just got it online. The rent was insanely high, like three times the rent that I was paying in Bellingham, Washington. But I just went for it, pushed myself and went out there. Worked at PureWow for about 8 or 9 months, I think it was, with an amazing team. My direct report was Nadia Rush. She's awesome. Love her. The whole team there was just amazing to work with. I love all those people. I made it my mission when I went there, like, I am here to absolutely destroy. And I'm going to do everything that I can to, for lack of a better way of putting it, make a name for myself in the company as much as I can.
What was your role there? Like, what were you doing? What were you hired to do?
So I was hired as a videographer slash like content creator, right? So we were making a lot of content for Instagram, Facebook at the time. So like short form videos, like your typical publisher style videos, right? So we would do like a profile on a local, you know, unique restaurant. Like there was this cool spot that was called Stick With Me Sweets, and they made these little candies that were like really beautiful and unique. So we would do like a profile on that place. We would also do videos on like, you know, different prominent actors or actresses and stuff like that. So little bios, a lot of bio style videos. So I was doing that, but then also there was cool opportunities where like we'd be working with different brands for like sponsored posts and bigger brand partnerships, right? And so we would put together these like case study videos that would show kind of what we had done. And those were requests from the CEO, Ryan Harwood, and Mary Kate that were not part of like my scope or whatever for work. So I would do those kind of like after hours and stuff. But I viewed it as like, this is an amazing opportunity. Like I'm getting to work directly with the CEO on this and like do something that he finds very valuable, which is always a good thing, obviously. And so I was like, cool, I'm going to do everything I can to just like redline this. Very much pushed myself really hard. I felt like I also like really tried to like get to know as many people in the company. And again, like I said, like just awesome people. Like I love the team. I'm still in contact with a lot of people that I worked with at PureWild. Like I love them. About 8 or 9 months into it, real quick, backing up context. So I came in through David Rock, right? Like, so I was like, I want to meet with you as often as I can. So about once a month, I would meet with David and just like check in, give him an update and ask him for advice on like, what do you think of the content that we're doing? You know, like, do you have any suggestions, anything that you think would be better? Just tried to like keep that relationship and build on that. Because not only do I professionally look up to him, but I just also really loved hanging out with David. And like, you know, like I love talking to him now. When I was out in New York, like I got to hang out with him for a little bit. He's just a great dude. So I wanted to build that relationship also just on a personal level. So I kept meeting with him, keeping him updated, etc. And then about 8 or 9 months, I believe was the timeline, I got a message from David saying that he and Andy Kranak, who was previously the head of Team Gary before he went over to VFriends, they wanted to like meet with me. I was like, okay, what did I fuck up on? What did I do wrong? Like, you know, like that was my first reaction.
You know? Yeah.
And so I went upstairs, meeting in the conference room, and like they just got right to it. They're like, we don't know what this is going to look like. We don't know what the timeline is, but we want to pull you onto the team. We think you'd be a great fit. And they were like, if you're interested, if you'd be down. I was like, fuck yes, I'd be down. Like, that'd be awesome. You know, like this is the dream for me. Like, I would love that. It was just crazy timing. Basically, I had previously planned a vacation to come out to the PNW, visit my friends and family in Washington and in Oregon. That was coming up like right after this meeting that had happened. So they were like, we're gonna figure out the logistics. We'll keep you updated. Like the next day that I came in, my manager, Nadia, was like, so it sounds like you're going on Team Gary. And I was like, wow, that was really fast. Like they do move.
Yeah,
And so basically it worked out that it was like, I was at PureWow up until that vacation. I went and visited friends and family, came back, and I was on Team Gary. It was that trip that I was back home was crazy because like all my friends know like how much I've admired Gary over the years. And like, they knew I was getting close, but like to be able to be like,
I'm working for the man. Yeah.
Like around the man and all the characters that are involved in making the content and stuff that I've looked up to for years. Like I was in shock. I was stoked. I also was like mentally preparing myself. Like I was like, this is like, I gave a lot at PureWild and I'm going to figure out how to even give more. I had redlined it, but I was like, I'm going to increase my capacity somehow. And that's kind of where that started.
Triple redline. I like it. That's crazy, man. I want to dig deeper because I think the gold is in the details for these like types of outreach things. You mentioned you were persistent, but not annoying with D-Rock. And so it seems like you saw a story on Gary's Instagram or something like that. And then you knew that, I think, first of all, it seems like you reached out to D-Rock, who basically DMing Gary directly would be kind of crazy, right? It's like some dude's getting like 1,000 DMs a day and it's like his DMs are flooded. So it kind of seems like you went through like someone that's working like in his periphery, right? But that's getting like a little less inbound. and then somehow like followed up and like reached out in a creative way that kind of got his attention. Can you go a little deeper into that outreach?
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think it was like me being strategic reaching out to David versus Gary, because I believe Gary's posting said email D-Rock. So I don't want to take credit. It's like I was.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do think that the way I went about it was very intentional. And I've always kind of been this way. Like, I don't know what it is. I think this came natural for me. So maybe I can one day or now figure out like what the system is. But I've never been afraid of following up a ton with no word back. Mm-hmm. And this actually, and we can touch on this later, but this came in handy hardcore with working with Gary, because he's a very busy person. So like I would text him for a caption on something, you know, 10 times in a row with no response. And I had no problem doing that. Whereas a lot of people, I think, have a problem with that. So going into this, I was like, I'm just gonna, and actually in my opening email, I said something to the effect of like, in the most respectful way, I'm not gonna stop emailing you until I hear back, unless you tell me to stop, in which case I will.
Dude.
So my opening line was, this is definitely not my first time contacting you. I live, breathe, eat, and then in parentheses, no, sleep video. I'd love to learn how I can add value to the amazing VaynerMedia team. And what I did, and I forgot about this, so my website is calebralston.com, just my name. I made calebralston.com/drock, and I had an opening video on there that was like vertical video. I filmed it on my phone, and it was the one of me eating the chicken nuggets and all that shit. And then below that, I put three videos, three brands. So I laid out like three videos that I had done that I was proud of or whatever, that I could use as reference for like my skill set. And then I put three references that I felt like were applicable. It was my direct report at the software company I worked at. It was my mentor, Sean Cannell, who also was very heavy in the YouTube space, is very heavy in the YouTube space now. And then my buddy Dylan First, who was like a very prominent and is a very prominent Instagram like influencer. So I felt like it hit like three of the angles that were kind of like central to this. And then, I kept following up. There's this one email I'm seeing right here. It says, I'm beyond motivated to get this phone call with you. This is just the beginning. It's like another video. And the thumbnail is D-Rock phone call attempt number 2.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. That's so smart. That's so cool. So each time you're adding like some rich media to that email, right? Like making it stand out in some way. At what point does he like answer? Is it after attempt number 2 or like attempt number 3?
So I sent that email that I read to you, that opening one, on July 11th at 8:36 p.m. I didn't hear anything back. So July 13th, at 4:06 p.m., I sent the exact same email, nothing different.
Okay.
My subject line was Usain Bolt video editor, in parentheses, I'm fast, winky face. Because that is something I've always prided myself on, is I'm a very fast editor. I figured that would be appealing. So then after that second follow-up, he responded and he was like, would love to have a call with you tomorrow. I didn't hear anything, or I said, you know, that would be great. What time is convenient? I'm on the West Coast, but I'll make any time work. And then no response. So then I followed up and I said, crushing video edits today. I'm available for a phone call if whenever you're free. Gave my phone number and said, really appreciate your time. Left it at that. Didn't hear back. So then the next day, about 24 hours later, I sent him that I'm beyond motivated to get this phone call with you. This is just the beginning. That was the attempt number 2 video that I sent him. Yeah, he was like, I had strep throat all weekend and I was in bed. Can we do a call tomorrow? and I'm like, I'm sitting in my place like, oh, fuck yeah, let's go.
We're in the door.
Yeah, exactly. And so then we had the call. But then after the call, they passed me over to Mary Kate. I think it was Mary Kate and someone else at Pure Wow. There would be times where I would send an email and I wouldn't hear back. So then I would send a follow-up email with a video. And they'd be like videos, like I lived, so Bellingham, Washington is on the bay. And so like I would go longboarding along the ocean all the time. So I just would send a video of me like, you know, in my apartment, tying my shoes, talking. And then I'm like in my car driving there talking. And then I'm like on my longboard, basically mini vlogs.
Yeah.
So I try to treat it rather than just like a straight up generic video. I was like
in your office or whatnot.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to show them, because my other thing was like, yeah, I think I'm good or whatever. But like there's millions of great videographers, millions of better videographers than me. But I was like, I have a great personality that I think that they're going to like. Like I'm fun. Like, and that probably sounds so douchey, but I don't mean it that way. Like I just think like I'm good at making people feel comfortable on camera, filming and all that. I think I have a fun personality to work with. Like, and I was like, you know what? If I really believe that, I should show them that as like a distinguishing factor. And if they feel that way, cool. If not, then I'm fucking wrong and I should just climb back into the cave of editing and never come out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you're right on that intuition, right? That's awesome, man. I love it. So then how did that phone call go? And like, what was the...
So that was the call where we talked through kind of like what my background is, what I'm passionate about. They said that the two opportunities that existed, Vayner Talent and Pure Wow. And Vayner Talent, especially at the time, was set up as like a, it was like a Team Gary model that you could hire, right? So it was like servicing different individuals and they would perform basically the whole system that Team Gary had for different people that would, you know, hire on with them. And that was like super dope. And I very much considered that, but that felt more in my wheelhouse. And I was like, if I'm not going to be on Team Gary, I think I should pursue something like I've always kind of tried to make decisions based on like, what am I going to be able to learn off of this slash I thought I'd be able to bring a different perspective to the team. So then I did end up having a call with Mary Kate, who again, I can't say enough great things about her. She's amazing. Like, she's just an awesome human and a great leader. And I loved working for her. She was awesome. I still talk with her to this day and stuff. And I had a call with her and the call went really good. We had a second call. And then they were like, okay, cool. This was on a Thursday night, I think, maybe even a Friday. And they were like, what we would love to do is see an example of what you would do for Pure Wow. Like, what would be the first video that you would make when you start here? We just want to see one video. Nothing crazy. Don't go insane. Like, just something, you know, simple. I was like, fuck that. I'm going ham. Like, so I instantly texted a friend of mine, Michelle Adams, and she's an amazing gymnast. She does a lot more than that now, but at the time she was teaching at a local gymnast or like gymnastics gym. And I was like, we had already been talking about making a video. I was like, this is a perfect opportunity. Like, she is a badass chick that is doing shit that like is just unreal. And her thing was like, you know, especially at the time, it was like, a lot of guys can do this kind of stuff, but a lot of girls don't feel like they can. And so that was kind of the angle. It was a good angle for it. And she was just incredible. So I texted her. I was like, is there any way that we could film like this afternoon or at the latest Saturday morning? She was like, yes. So one, I mean, I got lucky that worked out because it ended up being a really cool video that we ended up posting and everything. And it's still to this day, like a video I'm very proud of, even though I made it in like 18 hours, you know? So I think we shot that, I think it was Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon. And I, you know, did the edit real quick. I think I sent it to them either Sunday night or Monday morning because they asked for it by Monday. In classic fashion, I think this is the best way to go about anything like this. Like, I was like, I'm going to make three videos. I believe I made three, definitely two. Yeah, what I did is I made a full version of it, which was like 60 seconds. And then I made like a Instagram story version that they could use to drive to the full. Cause I was trying to show them, like, I'm not just thinking about content. Like, I think strategically about like how to drive to the content. But then also at the same time, I was like, we're not going to be able to film everything originally. We're going to be repurposing images, other people's videos, et cetera, to create content. That's like part of publishing, right? So another friend of mine, Elise Sterk, well, that was her last name at the time. She was like, and is just an unbelievable, she's on Instagram at Round the World Girl. She like bags all kinds of mountaintops. Like, she's a helicopter pilot, just badass, like just amazing. And we had been on like a couple of hikes and stuff like that. We were lifting together at the time. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to make a little bio video on her as well to show like I can film original content, edit it, and then I can also repurpose shit that exists online without creating anything new. So I did that and submitted all of that. And they were like, these are both awesome. We love them. And kind of went from there.
Dude, that's awesome. So really just tried to display like all your skills in like one application. Instead of being like, oh, let me just like do the minimum and like ship something, you're like let me blow them away. And it's like, I think that's the way, it's like, it's the unfair way of applying for a job, right? It's like most people are going to apply to like a dozen different jobs and they're going to split their attention into like a dozen different like projects, right? To like show their skills. But you were just like, like, no, I'm going to show them everything, right? I'm going to like basically put out the best work I've ever put just for this test project. And that's how you get in the door. That's awesome.
Yeah. When it's an opportunity that's like big, I'm a big fan of laying all your cards on the table. Like I know a lot of people are really in the creator space. It's been a big thing over the last couple of years of like, you know, don't do free work, don't do too much up front, blah, 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 blah. I am so against that, like hardcore. I very yeah. much disagree with that. I have found all the best things in my career have come off of me taking the initiative and like giving somebody a sample, but like not just like a little, like going hardcore on the sample piece, like something that I would be proud of posting as like a finalized piece. Yeah, so I'm a big believer in that.
Okay, so then you're at PureWow, you transfer over to Team Gary. What was that first week like? Now you're in your dream job pretty much at the time, right? Like what was that like?
Yeah, so it's fucking crazy, man. So I get back from vacation, day one, I'm like, you know, like my feelings of euphoria are just through the roof. I'm like, this is insane. This is so cool. I'm ready for whatever. And David goes, all right, cool, man. So I'm going to have you book a flight for your tomorrow. You're going to London for 24 hours with Gary. You're flying in the morning and you're leaving that night to come back.
Holy shit.
For context, I had only done one international trip before this. It was to Iceland. I had never done any other international. So like customs was so foreign to me. The way Gary rolls is like, Gary is going where he needs to go. Like his time is extremely valuable and he doesn't have a whole lot of like extra time. Actually, he has like no extra time. So like our job as the videographer is like keep up, you know? And like he has, you know, like TSA clear.
Like clear,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, pre-check. But then there's the international one. Anyways, whatever it is, he had that. I did not. So like I'm just chilling in line in customs, stressed out of my mind like, oh fuck, like my phone doesn't work. Because it's international, like I have no idea where the office is. I have no idea where the hotel is. Like I have an address, that's about it. But like, how do I order an Uber? How do I order a cab? Like,
damn,
all of this, right? Which I love. Like I was stressed, but also like at the same time I'm stressed.
Like the adventure, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, this is a great story. Literally day two on Team Gary, I'm like thrown to the wolves. It was perfect, and just to back up real quick, I don't think, and I observed, actually, I know they don't do that with most people. I think David and I had been talking for so long leading up to it. He had enough context on me that like, one.
Get some trust in you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, you can't just do that with a brand new employee that you don't know. Like that'd be absurd. But I think there was enough trust built. There was enough context, enough understanding of like Caleb's the kind of weirdo and psychopath that will like this. Like this will be good. Uh-huh. This will get him pumped. And it did. So like I figured it out, got a cab. You know, it was the most expensive cab I've ever, you know, paid for in my life because it was like 45 minutes or whatever. And I get like car sick, like real easily. So like I was just, you know, like the whole way and got to the hotel, slept for an hour, and then we were going. Like, it was like, we had the hotel even though we weren't staying the night. So like, slept, showered, and boom, we went to the office and we were just like, go, 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 go. And there was like meetings, meetings, meetings. And then there was an event that night with a pro football player, like soccer football player, Gary and him talking. It was a great event. It was super cool. I got to meet some great people. And then literally we leave from there, go back to the airport and fly back. And then in the office the next day, it was just, and it very quickly, I was like, oh, this is what my life, like, this is awesome. Like, I love working and this is a place that rewards loving working. And this is a place that like gives you the opportunity to like really push it, which I had already naturally been that way. And a lot of like people in my life were always kind of like, hey, like, do you want to slow down? But like, that's not like, who I am.
Are you right?
Yeah. There's seasons, of course, and I'm sure we'll end up getting to it. But like, there are seasons where I do believe it's good to slow down and stuff. But like at that time, I was like, fuck no, like all gas, all the way.
That's crazy, man. And had you hung out with Gary before, like when you were at your job at PR, or was this like your first time really like spending time with him? I mean, you're his videographer, so I'm guessing there's like some kind of it wasn't just like you guys chilling, right? But like what was that like the first day? Had you hung out with him before? Had you spoken with him before? And like what was that like the first like 24 hours of like spending with him on an international trip?
Yeah, so a month into me being at PureWow, I requested like a 10-minute meeting with him, maybe even a 5-minute meeting. I always try to keep any any time that I've asked to meet with Gary, I always try and make it as quick as possible just because his time is really valuable and like I don't want to take too much of it. But so it was either a five minute. We'll call it a 5 minute in October. So I started my day one at Pure Well was like September 11th. And I started or I met with Gary like literally a month later, like October 11th. Ish. So I gave him context on everything, told him about Pure Wow, and he was like, I actually posted the meeting to my Instagram or clips of it a while ago. And it's like, he was saying, you know, like there a lot of people in the building leave after 5:30, but my team is usually up here. Like, consider this an open invite, like come hang out with the team, work here, whatever. And actually, shockingly, not to go on too much of a tangent, but I didn't really do that as much. I did a little bit and I pursued my relationship with David, but it clearly worked out, but like I kind of had this mindset of I'm going to like it's tempting to want to go hang out with Team Gary, and I could have been like, hey, like I'd love to edit some videos for Gary, like I would love to do this in the after hours time, and that probably would have worked too. So I'm not saying that would have been the wrong approach, but like I made my decision of like Team Gary and Gary content is tempting, but I work for Pure Wow. So I'm going to pour everything into Pure Wow in the hopes that like this builds my reputation. And like maybe for some reason, Mary Kate and Ryan talk to Gary about me or Andy about me or David about me, you know? And I felt like this was the opportunity I was given. So like, I'm going to go all in on that and not distract myself with other stuff, which I actually like looking back retroactively, I think it's like a very interesting thing. And I don't necessarily have a hardcore opinion on one way or the other, but it's just kind of an interesting approach.
It's a different strategy. It's like, I'm going to be known as the animal on this team. And like, I'm going to do work that's so good. It's like that quote, like so good you can't be ignored, right? I'm going to do work that's so good that's like eventually like Gary and his team are gonna like hear about it, and then they're gonna be like, dude, like we need this, some of this on our team.
Yeah, and I really like very quickly fell in love with Pure Wow, and I wanted to do everything I could to help the brand, you know, exceed what it was already doing and stuff. And that was also just like cool, I just actually cared, so that was a good thing. But I had that meeting with Gary, gave him like context on everything, and other than that I had not done any other meetings or hung out with him or anything like that. But about a month or two before I started and before we had the conversation about me joining the team, I did get a text at like 5:30. I was in the office and David was like, hey, Gary's got a dinner that he's going to run to at Hunt and Fish Club. Do you want to go film it? Like just last minute, you know, like he was literally about to leave. And I was like, hell yeah, of course. Like I will absolutely do it. And it was really cool because it happened to be a dinner with Vitor Belfort. He's a legend, right? And I love Vitor. Like I didn't mention this obviously, but like the way I first got introduced to him was the fight with Anderson Silva, when Anderson entered the ring, did the front kick to his face, and like the fight was over in 60 seconds. It was the first pay-per-view me and my buddies had paid for, and we're like, what the fuck? We paid all this money for a 60-second fight. Yeah. But anyways, Vitor was great. So that was really cool. It was the first time I had tried oysters. Which there's a funny moment, I think it made it into the vlog, where like Gary's like, do you like oysters? And I was like, I've never had them before. And he's like, you've never had oysters? Give me the camera. You're going to have an oyster. And he's like filming me having my first oyster. And I, you know, I'm sure you're probably thinking of it right now in your head. Like in my head, I'm like, holy fuck. I'm sitting here with Gary and Vitor Belfort, and Gary is filming me eating oysters. Like I called my sister right after. I was like, this is fucking nuts. Like what on earth? This is insane. Like, so I did have that initial thing, but other than that, no real context. So that first trip was really good. Actually, a lot more is coming to memory because that day I did film a daily V before I started. I don't know why I forgot about that, but there is a daily V that I filmed, and it's like one of my favorite daily V's that I did overall. The cool thing is like with Gary, like he is always maximizing his time, right? So like if we're in transit going from the airport to a meeting or from one meeting to the next meeting, if he's not on a call in the car, he's like responding to comments, reading comments on Twitter. He's like, you know, looking at like all the different, you know, millions of texts that he gets. Like he's, you know, texting our team being like, hey, let's like, you know, prioritize this. Let's try this. Let's do this. There's very little downtime. But the advantage I had coming into it was like, I had been consuming Gary's content for about 7 or 8 years before I started here. So I had so much context and so many questions, right? And I would watch the comments that people would put on his content. So I just, anytime that I saw, what I would do is, for whatever reason, I don't know why this is, I'm like very observant of little micro expressions, changes, any little tweaks in somebody's body language when I'm filming them, not just like every whole person. But, and so like, I would notice I'd be looking, not like snooping on his phone, but at a side angle, I could see he's writing a tweet. And so I would just watch him.
Yeah.
And as soon as he would hit go, tweet, I was like, this is my moment. He's in between tasks, right? Like there's a millisecond where if I ask him a question, I'm going to get his attention. So I would wait for it and then boom, he would hit it. And I'd be like, hey, how do you apply empathy towards, you know, a family member that has hurt you or whatever, you know, like, I mean, I would just like, I had my questions ready. I would always do that. So that was like the first trip. I just tried to take advantage of any of those moments. But then also like, I was trying to like be on top of it. A lot of what, when I was on, and I don't know how it is now, but when I was on the team, like if you're a traveling videographer, you're more than just filming. This is not required. He never asked, but the way I just viewed it, it was like, I'm going to take on whatever I see as an inconvenience for him. So like, walking through the airport, you know, sometimes, you know, I'd be like, I'll roll your suitcase while I'm filming you, kind of thing. Like, I'd be coordinating with the amazing executive assistants. When I was on there, the main person I was working with Alex, and she, fucking love her. She's awesome. So we'd be like texting back and forth. Like, she'd be like, hey, are you guys about to head to this meeting? Like, I was the boots on the ground to keep her updated on like whether or not we were keeping the calendar according to the calendar. I'd be checking the calendar all the time because it'd be like, you know, maybe we had a 5-minute gap and Gary's like on a call that he just took ad hoc. And I'd be like, hey, G, you got a call in 2 minutes that you've got to hop on while I'm filming, you know? So it's like, I'm like low key, like looking at the calendar, managing that, managing his stuff. Like people would come up and give him gifts all the time. And his first thing is like turn to whoever the videographer is, whether it's Jason, David, Dustin, myself, like, and he would just hand that to us because like we have a backpack or whatever.
Yeah.
We don't have a backpack and we put it under our arm while we're filming or whatever. But like, that was kind of what that first trip was figuring out that cadence and trying to observe like different things that I felt like were areas in addition to filming and video that I could help do as well, you know, just to try and make his life a little bit easier, you know, because that's how I view it is like back way back in the day, Kings, and I don't want this to come across incorrectly, but Kings had like an armor bearer, right? And they would like, their whole goal was to protect and make the king's life easier. It's like a very biblical thing. I kind of looked at it like, I'm going to try and be that for Gary. You know, I don't want to just be a videographer. I want to like do other things for him and try and make this a better experience kind of thing.
It's adding value, right? It's just like doing whatever you can to add as much value. He's just like a busy person. There's like a million things happening every second. It's like every single thing you can do to help is just like, again, make you a more valuable videographer, right? Even though it's not like pure videography.
Yeah. Yeah. I always have believed that like you have your core role, but if you're able to fill in things around that, that is a differentiator. Because there's a ton of people that are really good at that core thing. Like millions that are better. But if you're good at doing all the other things too, that's a great way, in my opinion, to stand out.
That sounds like quite a first week. One other thing I want to dive into with you is what the team around him looks like. Because like, I think, I mean, Team Gary V has like some, what's the word I'm trying to find? It's well known, yeah. Like it has like a brand around it itself, right? And I think a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs that are starting to build their personal brand, a lot of creators kind of look up to it as a model of like how to create content, right? Like how do you create a content machine like that? And so I wanted to dive into like when you were there, because I know it's probably changed since, but like, what did that team look like? Like, what were the, like, how big was it? You know, what were different platforms we were working? Like, what are the systems? Like, let's say there's the vlog, right? Like, what's the systems around that? There's like, but obviously like a bunch of camera people, but a bunch of videographers, bunch of editors. And I'm guessing then there's a bunch of people that are pulling micro content as well for all the social media platforms, right? And so I just want to kind of like do a in-depth breakdown, deep dive on like the systems and just what the team looks like in general.
Yeah, Team Gary is the best. Big love for Team Gary. Amazing people on the team. At its peak, when I was on the team, at its peak, I think we had 29 members. maybe 30, massive. Now, we were servicing a lot, right? There was, towards the end even, we were working with like external clients sometimes. You guys probably, people that really followed deeply probably saw we would post about it kind of thing, like Team Gary is now accepting clients. Like we had a couple of clients that we worked with on there in addition to Gary. But like over the time that I was on the team, there was actually a lot of evolution in our like system and our workflow. In the very beginning and for the first major chunk of when I was on the team, all communication took place in iMessage. So we had two big chats. We had Gary V squad and we had Team Gary V or Gary V team or something like that, right? One was with Gary, one was without. Massive. Like everybody's in this group chat and it's just like, you know, when I first was on the team, the way it worked was like, you make a micro clip and you text it to Gary.
In the group.
In the group chat, one off, both. Like I did, because the way it was it, and it was very smart. It was like a competition almost. Like you make your micro and then you're like sending it to Gary and it's like, there's tons of us editing videos. So it's like, we're all sending him videos. Whose video is he going to post? You know, like, and so like, that was really fun. I'm like,
it's like a mini competition. Yeah.
And I'm so competitive that it was just like, it was a blast. And like a lot of like, especially the videographers like are also competitive. So it was just fun. It was all in good fun though. It was never like weird or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was genuinely just like, this is awesome. This is, I loved it. It was perfect for my personality. I would make a clip. I would text it in the group chat. I would text it to Gary solo. I would ping him. Like I would bump it all the time. Like I was relentless about it. So especially clips that I felt good about. Clips that I didn't feel as good about, I was, you know, I'd send it once and I was like, you know, cool, we can just okay, leave it there. Enough. It doesn't need to go up. But oftentimes he would then like take the clip, post it on Twitter to see like, how did it do on Twitter? Oh, it did well. Okay, cool. Boom. Let's move it over to IG kind of thing. And he would post it. Like, he would download it from iMessage, put it into Instagram, write the caption, and then hit post.
Wow.
Like, it was wild. Yeah. Remarkable. Like all the comments, anything you see from at Gary V is Gary.
Why do you think that is, that he wanted to do everything himself as far as like posting caption?
Authentic. Yeah. He is, I think one big priority for him is authenticity and being as real as he's able to with his other commitments. So like, at that time, he was able to just like do all that posting. I don't know what the system is now. Again, at that time, like, yeah, he was posting all the clips and stuff. And then eventually we created a different system where it was like, he would text the team, you can post it now. And he would write the caption and everything. So it was all his words. And
he just have to download and upload. Yeah.
Correct. And the reason why he would do that is he was like, and I respect this so much. He was like, I don't want to be like in a meeting or something like that where I wouldn't normally post and have it go up. Or, you know, if he was on a flight and he wouldn't be able to post it on the flight, like he doesn't want to put it. I just always thought that was so cool. I just very much admired that. Not that doing it the other way is wrong in any way. There's nothing bad about having your team post for you, you know, posting when you're not available, when you're MIA, like that's fine. But I always just thought like, oh, this is really fucking cool that he does it that way.
There's probably a portion of it as well that's, I mean, like his whole company is around social, right? So like in order to be at the forefront of just like, hey, like what's working, you know? And like to really have a pulse on like there, I mean, social media, there's like stuff changing every day and what people are reacting to, like the micro nuances in like a caption or something like that, right? And so probably the fact of manually for him uploading, writing the caption and all that stuff, like it kind of probably kept him very sharp as well, right?
Oh yeah, he always talked about how like the thing that made him different than most is he's a practitioner. He's not just a pontificator. So actually like something that he rolled out into Vayner was like having the heads of different teams that were working on different clients, like the, you know, creative director, like you're putting out 3 tweets a day. Like you're going to be a practitioner as well, because like that's the only way to stay dangerous, right? Is to like be in the weeds and know what's going on, because like you said, it's constantly evolving. So yeah, we did that. iMessage was the move. Eventually, we moved to WhatsApp because iMessage can only have so many people in the group chat. So we did that. And then internally, we started implementing like Asana, creating tickets for videos and stuff like that, getting a little bit more methodical. It used to be that it was like the videographer would come in, and before you edited Daily V, you would make at least 2 micro clips based on your subjective call of what the good moment was. And I believe that that is a very... With the right people, that is an amazing model, I think it's great. But we started getting a little bit more technical with it. And like, you know, we would do things like we would upload the long form content to YouTube. And then from there, pull engagement spikes where you would see spikes in engagement on the graph. At the time, it wasn't like you could just look at the video. You had to go into the analytics side and stuff. But then it was like, cool, this is a timestamp that clearly people fucked with. Let's make it for Instagram. Let's make it for Twitter. Let's make it for LinkedIn. And eventually, let's make it for TikTok. You know, it was going into YouTube comments.
Yeah.
And people, I mean, you know this. You know this better than most. Like, people will timestamp moments in a video in their comment, and they'll reference it. And it was like, well, this is a clear indicator that this was a good moment. So let's clip it. So we used all those kind of like social indicators of good content to drive what we would do. But then there was like cool moments. Like one of the micro clips that I'm most proud of was the blueberry clip. And that was a moment where it was like straight up, and I'm not trying to like brag here, but it was just like, I just, right after we filmed it, I was like, this is a really good moment. Like, this is great. And I edited it on the plane on the way home. And I sent it to Gary, and he was like he had a good feeling about it. We didn't know it was going to do what it did. But like, he was like, yeah, this is a good clip because it's a combo of like entertainment, utilitarian, and like education at the end. So it hit like all three things that you need for like a perfect piece of content.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, that shit went fucking wild. Like, people were sending pounds of blueberries. Still to this day, I think people send him blueberries.
Okay, so you mentioned there was like 29 people at the team at the time. Like, what do those people do? Like, how are those positions? Like, are they divided by platform? Is it by like long form, short form? What are those people doing?
One of my favorite things about Team Gary and about Gary is, you make a system, and then the moment new information is presented, you pivot. So we changed how we did this, not like every week, not every month, but every once in a while we would change it. So we did, for a while, it was generalist. You're a videographer, you're making videos based on need. We need LinkedIn. All right, cool. I'm going to make more LinkedIn content this week. We need Instagram. Cool. Eventually we started honing in on like giving different platforms, different creators. So eventually it got to the point where like I was like, when Gary really started being like, TikTok is real, we're going to go ham on it, I got the wonderful opportunity to work on TikTok. So I was like, pretty much all I did all day was live on TikTok and make TikTok clips. Initially, it was like a team of us, like three of us. And then it got put to a team of two of us where it was myself and Avital. So we were working together on creating the clips. And eventually it got to the point where I was also like the channel manager for it. So what that meant was, Avital and I would make clips all day long for TikTok to hit that 6 clips a day. So it was like, you know, sometimes it was 3 and 3, sometimes it was 4 and 2. We would make those clips. We would look at all the feedback. Anytime that there was anything that needed to be addressed, we were the ones prompting Gary. We were the ones that were texting Gary being like, hey, can we get a caption for this clip? Like all that shit.
You're just like owning the platform. You're like looking at the metrics. You're like, think of strategy. You're like, this worked, this didn't. Let's double down on this. Let's do more of this. Let's experiment with this.
Yeah. And I don't think that is a model that works across the board for most creators. For whatever reason, I really thrived in it. When I was making TikTok clips and someone else was posting, I was doing good. When I was making the clips and I was posting and I was watching the first hour, how it would perform, I was watching the comments hardcore, I was seeing everything that was happening with it, that's when it started like going batshit crazy.
Because you're getting like direct feedback that you can directly implement into the next edit, and it's just like, it's like a virtual cycle, right?
Yep. Immediate feedback loops. And again, just following what Gary always really pushed was like paying attention to the comments. So it was like, we really, like Avital and I really paid attention to the comments. We watched it go from like, there was like a weird evolution of like relationship to Gary. Like when we first came onto the platform hardcore, it was like, you know, it was like Grandpa Gary. Then it became Uncle Gary. Then people were calling him Dad. Then people were calling him Bro. Like, and it just like, he moved closer and closer to people as far as like relation, right? Because at the beginning, it was a bunch of kids, right? And so like an older dude coming on, it was like Grandpa. But then he was the cool uncle. And then, you know, and it just progressively came close. And if you're just posting, you know, making and posting and then leaving, you don't notice little things like that. But when you notice things like that, you make content around it, referencing it, right? So like we would bombard Gary, like whenever he'd be in between meetings, there'd be like the next meeting people that are waiting to jump into his office. I would just like quickly rush in and be like, hey, I have a clip that I need to film with you. You know, there was this one where there was like a trend about like finals, school finals for kids in school. And I was like, what can I do that'll be catchy, that will prompt him, that will take us, you know, 30 seconds. So I took an apple and I wrote fuck finals on it. And I just like held it to the camera, went like this, and then tossed it to him. And he looks at it, he's like, you know, fuck finals. He like gives his little spiel and then he takes a bite out of it. You know, it was like a crazy clip.
That's good. But
like, we were so deep in it that like we knew what was working, you know.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, Avital and I could be like, this is going to be a clip that will hit. Or we knew like, this is a clip that we're putting out because it's brand, it's messaging that he wants, but it's not going to crush, which is fine, by the way. Like that wasn't, we weren't always going for million view clips. I think that's a terrible way to approach content. But
and then the other, like what I'm hearing as well is that like similar to what you're saying, like Gary's always like in a stream of like to do's, right? And like you have to strategically insert yourself. Like he exits a meeting, he literally has like 30 seconds. You're like, how do I turn these 30 seconds into like a viral, like clippable moment, right? And like you just like set the context for that, like prepare the apple, which is like a very like prop, like a great prop for like a viral video, right? And
I think that was one of the jokes on the team was like, I was, and again, I don't want this to come across like I'm bragging or anything like that, but like one thing that I really tried to do was pay attention to his timing on things. Like I would mm-hmm. notice like, oh, he's gonna walk to the bathroom to take a piss. I'm gonna walk with him and get a couple captions for the next 5 videos that we have. Like very much was like just, and I think that's something that like, you know, any videographers, any people that are watching that are like kind of directly working with an individual that is busy like that, like it's good to notice those things and take advantage of those moments if that person wants that. You know, a lot of people would be like pissed about like me trying to take advantage of them walking to the back. Like that for them is a break. For Gary, he was like maximizing every second. So he would always encourage me. He's like, Caleb, you can't text me enough. Like you'll never bug me. If you ever get to that point, I will tell you, but like, I doubt that'll ever happen. And so I actually took him at his word there. And I was like, cool, I will text you nonstop to get something. Like I will, you know, and again, like I had, like I could see his calendar, right? So like I would, in the morning, what I would do, if I needed a caption that day, I would literally wake up and look at his calendar and be like, oh, cool. He is in transit to the office right now. I'm going to text him. Like, oh, like literally looking at his calendar, even if he was out of town and I wasn't around him, I'd be like, oh, he's in between meetings. Like this meeting is about to end.
And he's like I can text him now or I can call him now. Yeah,
exactly. So like, I just always was trying to time things like that. And, you know, I was trying to see like, what kind of mode is he in? Did he just get out of like a really crazy business call? Okay, cool. We're going to talk about some business shit then. You know, did he just have a call with somebody talking about something personal? Like, cool, let's talk about something a little bit more personal, you know? Like,
hell yeah, man, this is great. A couple things to wrap up with Gary. What are the biggest lessons you learned from like working with him, being around him?
Not to get too deep, but I have always been a very like empathetic, emotional kind of guy. Like always like very much cared about how other people feel and all that shit. And for so long, I thought like, oh, this is like so not a winning masculine trait, you know, like this is so the antithesis of what everyone in culture is saying is a winning male trait, right? And I just very much got to see and confirm that like that is good. And those are good traits. And those are good things to continue to hone and to live with through Gary. Like I had that already, but I was unconfident in it. And after, you know, not only consuming Gary's content, because that alone will do it, but really seeing him day to day and how he is behind the scenes, seeing the moments that like we film, but he's like, we don't need to put that out, where he's doing really good shit for people that maybe even don't even deserve it. Like, I mean, that's one thing that I can say with absolute certainty is like, Gary is a even better dude than you see in the content. There's a lot of cool stuff he does that he doesn't put out because he's not trying to brag. So that was also like, I was around him 24/7.
Yeah.
When I would go on a trip with him filming, like I was literally, other than him sleeping in his hotel, I was there. And so like, I got to see him 24/7, you know, it wasn't like we film for 7 hours and then we depart. Like that's the scenario with most situations like this. With him, it was like, I was literally with him all day. And so like, I got to see like when something shitty would happen. You know, we got stranded in Toronto because a fucking storm was going on in New York and his daughter had a hip hop recital the next morning that he had to make it to. And he was like, we got to do it. And so like, he wasn't a dick, but we're like trying to find, like, it was so stressful. It would be easy to be like an asshole in that moment. I was probably more rude than he was, you know, like, you know, we're like scrambling, trying to find a private plane or something to get us home. And eventually we found like a dude to drive us literally from Toronto to New York City overnight, you know, like, I don't know, all these situations that I got to see him in. So like, one, it was a great confirmation that like being kind and doing the right thing is like, it's cool. Like, it was like it was somebody I looked up to, I admired, and I thought was cool.
It's like you can.
It was like, okay, cool.
Like, sorry, it's like you can be successful and kind, kind of. That's
Yeah. Successful, kind, and cool. Like yes. You know, it's not like he's hanging out with a lot of artists that I love to listen to and I admire and I think are dope as fuck. Like, it was a very good edifier for me on like, yep, this is the right way. Like, I can keep rolling this way. But then also just learning how to like think about the audience first when creating content. A lot of people, I think, even people that are very successful with their content, as far as metrics go, I think a lot of it is self-serving. I very much learned from him that like the filter is, does this provide value to the audience? If not, it's not really worth putting out. And really paying attention to the comments, to the replies on Twitter, to, you know, what people are saying in general on their own content about his content. And like really taking that to heart and being like, okay, like, what do we need to fill in the gap on? What are we talking about that isn't coming across clearly? Or, you know, what are new questions that are coming in that we haven't addressed? So being very much audience first and community focused was another big one. And then there was just a lot of like, again, a lot of content we weren't, and they're still not able to put out because they're like client meetings that are super confidential. But like, Gary is a fucking gangster in business. And the amount of times that he's been in with like very big brands on some wild meetings and just come up with some crazy shit on the fly that like then gets put into place is unreal. But like, again, that can't go out. And so like,
you're just like a fly on the wall, right? Just like,
yeah,
taking notes mentally.
Oh yeah. Hardcore. Like, just unique approaches to typical situations and ongoing, what most people would do. And then he would just flip it on its head. And I don't know, just another big takeaway was I got way better at coming up with ideas and creative on the fly, like in the moment. Before Team Gary, I would get pissed if like a manager would ask me, you know, like if me and my manager were meeting with the CEO about content or whatever, and they'd be like, do you have any ideas for this? And I didn't have time to prepare. I'd be like flustered and I'd be so angry that they put me in that spot. After working with Gary, I'm like, I actually now feel like my best ideas are on the spot.
On the spot. That's cool.
Yeah. Cause that's how he is. And I very much like learned how to pick that up because he would ask me my opinion in a meeting with very impressive individuals that I had no business being with. And eventually I just got comfortable with being like, okay, cool. I can come up with an answer on the fly, you know? So those would be the biggest ones is like, and I think it's the most important thing out of everything is like being kind, coming up with ideas on the fly and being audience first. Those are the big ones. There's tons of others, but those are the three that really stand out.
I love it. Those are great. How did the chapter at Vayner come to an end?
So there was two things. One, I was starting to get to a point where I was like, I have a little bit of ADD sometimes when it comes to work. And I like my interests will change or whatever. It's becoming less and less as I've gotten older. So like the change was not very dramatic, but I had just talked to Gary about like, I'm interested in doing client work. I was intrigued. And you know, Gary's whole thing is like, if you're interested in something or you're wondering, you should do it to taste it and see. Rather find out you don't like it than always wonder what could
what if. Yeah.
So at the same time as I had been thinking that, Gary was actually wanting to move Team Gary members into VaynerMedia. VaynerMedia is amazing and just absolutely killing it. We were just like a weird breed of like characters that were just like, we were great at internet content, right? And we were very like nimble. We were cheap.
Animals.
Literally animals in a cage. I mean, that was kind of the joke too. It was like, you know, like don't feed the animals, you know, like when you would walk past the Team Gary section. But like, I think it was just like wanting to inject some of that DNA into Vayner and then also injecting some of the Vayner DNA into us. So it was like a, you know, dual osmosis.
Transfer of cultures.
Yeah. And so like, it was crazy timing, like right when I was starting to feel that way and wonder what would it be like to work at an agency, like on that kind of model. We had a meeting where he was mentioning like, anybody who's interested, like I would love to put you on some of our different teams. And so I was like, I'm interested. So I did that. Literally like 2 weeks, 3 weeks after that happened, COVID happened and quarantine happened and we were working from home. Gary, being Gary, like he's like, cool, we're going to create a show for Vayner called Marketing for the Now, where we're going to interview CMOs, CEOs of, you know, like Ben and Jerry's, Pepsi, like Budweiser, like all these different amazing brands, see what they're doing and how they're handling this time, you know, literally applying what he believes to like VaynerMedia, right? And creating original content for the agency, which I thought was really cool. In the interim, while I was waiting on a couple of different client projects that were coming in, I started heading up the like post-production for that, which wasn't anything crazy. It was like all Zoom recordings, right? And then I was doing the editing, added lower thirds, making micro content, all that stuff. That was really fun because I got to work a little bit closer with Andrea Sullivan, who is just an absolute gangster over at Vayner. She's amazing, just an amazing, awesome human. And I learned so much from her just in the short time of working there. And she's very well connected. It was just, yeah, it was very cool. And I was sitting there editing content where it's like, you know, the CMO or CEO actually of Ben & Jerry's is talking about how they were navigating the climate, right? So it was just, it was very interesting content. It was really cool. Did like a little bit of TikTok stuff with like some of the clients internally. That was really fun because that was what I was like so deep on was TikTok. So that was kind of the priority for me being on the Vayner side. And so we did that. That was fun. And then Gary actually sold Empathy Wines, which he had built up, to Constellation Brands. And in that, the whole thing was not only selling the brand, but selling the D2C capabilities, direct to consumer. That was like a big thing that was not big in the alcohol space, right?
Yeah.
It existed, but it wasn't done by the big players. And so a couple of people at Vayner got poached for that to start that direct to consumer team. And I was one of those people, John Troutman, legend, love Trouty. He reached out and he was like, hey, I asked Gary if it would be okay if I, you know, reach out to you to see if you'd be interested in this. And, you know, Gary said yes. And so then I, you know, the first thing I did was talk to Gary and be like, what do you think? What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. And we had a really great conversation where he kind of set expectations for me on what it would be like. He was like, you know, you're going to a corporate company. So it's going to be a totally different dynamic than Team Gary.
But you kind of had like a, you kind of had like an itch that you wanted to try that type of stuff, right?
Yeah. I wanted to see what is it like. And, you know, I have ambitions way later on in my life to potentially have my own thing. So I wanted to understand what does corporate America run like? What is the structure? What are kind of the politics of it, et cetera. But also it was appealing because within a big corporate structure, it was a little bit of a startup because it was a brand new team to the company. Like direct to consumer was not a thing at Constellation before. So there was like a little bit of a scrappy startup vibe to it as well, which was appealing to me. So then, yeah, transitioned over there as a, the title was producer and did that for about 18 months.
So how did Alex Hormozi pop onto your radar? How did that come about?
So Alex and Layla had been creating content, obviously, I'm sure most people are aware, online that just really was like blowing up. They were absolutely killing it. I was not aware of them, actually, through a mutual contact. So they had basically, they were like, this is going well. This is really working, we want to take this to the next level. Let's hire a videographer, right?
Like a D-Rock, so, basically, right? Exactly. Let's get a D-Rock.
Literally, they're like, let's get a D-Rock. And so they reached out to a friend, business acquaintance, but more so a friend of theirs, who they told him, they were like, we're looking for a D-Rock. And he reached out to my buddy, Jason Marina, who was on Team Gary now 1:37 PM, reached out to him and was like, do you know anyone? You know, because like Jason was also a videographer on Team Gary and absolute gangster. So like, if he knows someone, if he recommends someone, it's gonna be great. And it was funny because Jason and I, we keep in contact. We talk, you know, every once in a while and stuff. And I had just been out in New York and we had hung out and stuff. And we were just catching up, talking about different things that we were doing. And I told him, yeah, I just moved to Vegas. Like, and he was like, oh, that's crazy. Anyways, when this guy reached out to Jason, Jason was like, well, where is it located? Ed was like, Vegas. And he goes, holy shit, Caleb just moved to Vegas. And Ed knew me through Gary content and stuff like that. We didn't know each other personally, but he had seen some of the stuff I had done. So it was just like this crazy timing of like, wow, the moment they start looking, there was a dude that moved there just a couple weeks before that, maybe a month.
Wow. How serendipitous.
Yeah. We got connected and we had a call and I didn't have context on them, but I remember after the first call, I was like, wow, these two are really fucking cool. Like, they're really cool people. I really like their vibe. They're nice. They're very, very fucking smart, very methodical with their approach to business. And they're really good at taking high-level concepts and making them understandable for a, you know, uneducated individual like myself. And I got all of that in the first Zoom call that we had. And apparently they seemed to like me too. Our vibes were good. We had a second call and then we kind of went from there. And this was something that I also was a clear indicator to me of like, this is a good situation to go into is when we were talking, they were like, you know, we were originally thinking of just hiring a videographer, but after both of them and I were talking, it was like, we need to build a team. And for me in my career, I was like, I'm not necessarily looking to take on another videographer position. Like I'm looking to
expand. I want to level up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we had talked and we were like, cool, let's build a team. So they brought me on as the creative director to kind of go about building an amazing media monster. Mosey Media Monster.
That's cool, man. That's wicked. So what is creative director? Like what does that mean?
In the traditional sense, it is the individual who is setting the tone for the creative, both in tone for like copy, for visuals, basically oversees all the creative. The way I'm looking about it is I am, you know, it might not even be, it's more of a traditional title, you know, like Don Draper in Mad Men is a creative director. Like, but I'm looking at it too from the standpoint of like strategy as well. So I'm trying to be, it was one thing that I felt at Constellation, like just due to like the way the team was set up and everything, understandably so, like I was only creating and I wasn't really using any of my strategy muscle or skill that I have. And I'm not like an expert strategist. I'm not ever going to pretend that. But I think I have enough information, enough like intuitive thinking to be dangerous and to work with people that are experts on platform specific to like do some cool shit. And so kind of the goal and the way I'm thinking about it is like building a team of creatives and strategists to help Alex and Layla, to come around Alex and Layla to fulfill the mission of documenting world-class businesses, like all everything that like goes into building those world-class businesses and sharing it with other entrepreneurs to like help them maybe avoid some of the pains that Alex and Layla have gone through, you know? That was the other thing too, is like it very much aligned with my vision and what I love. Like I love helping people, not in like your most common way. Like I don't like helping people move, you know, I fucking hate that shit. But I love using my skill in creating content, specifically video, but other realms as well.
That benefits people's lives.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what very much aligned with Gary. It very much aligns with Alex and Layla. Like they're very passionate about educating for free, by the way, which I love. I very quickly felt like this is a good mesh. Yeah.
It's almost was meant to be, right? Because like you learn all this stuff of like on Team Gary and like how everything is structured and like going into the strategy and stuff. And now it's like Hormozy is kind of this new, almost like new generation Gary V, right? Who's like started to pick up, and obviously at some point will probably end up being as big as Gary, right? Like, and you're kind of in this position where now you're able to build this like mini Gary V team under the Hormozys, and that's awesome.
Yeah, one cool thing that I think would actually be very helpful for any creators watching this that Gary told me, because I met with him before I started here. You know, like I try to like every once in a while, you know, have a meeting with him and check in. You know, he's a very much a mentor in my life, and I not one that I talk to often or anything like that. Like I don't want to, you know, I always am careful about asking him for time and stuff, but I wanted to jam with him when I was in New York, and the biggest piece of advice he gave me was don't map towards what I've done or what you prefer or what you're best at. He said reverse engineer what they are best at and build around that. Don't go in imposing your ideas. Find out what they love to do, what they feel like they're best at, what they hate doing, and build a system around that. Not like the, because I think that's one mistake that a lot of people do, is maybe they look up to a Gary, then they try to replicate that. But I can pretty much say with absolute certainty, there's not another Gary on this earth, just like there's not another Alex on this earth, or another, you know, like there's not another Michael Jordan or LeBron. Like, so you have to you have to figure out what works best for the person that you're working with and then reverse from there to build systems around that. Because if you do the other, one, it's just not going to be authentic, and it's probably not going to have legs to it. Like, it's not going to last for very long because it's not built.
That's very interesting. It's like the classic, like, be like water, right? how is working with Alex different than working with Gary? I guess I should say Alex and Layla. How is it different working than with Gary?
Well, I mean, one, there's just the obvious of, like, I came into a large team that was already established. There was, you know, like, uh-huh. years worth of content, years worth of strategy and play on this. Alex and Layla had started, Alex has been making content through like Gym Launch and Gym Lords and all of that for years, right? But like overall, like they didn't really start taking content seriously until like about 10 to 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. So I came into a very fresh system. So there's that, that's like the clear difference. And then there's like differences in like what they prefer. You know, one similarity is like Gary loves Twitter. Alex loves Twitter. You know, like he really loves Twitter. Layla's not as into Twitter. Like her version of Twitter, because real quick context, I've noticed, even without them saying it, they've both talked about it, but like Alex uses Twitter as a idea tester. So he has a thought, an idea,
yep.
he puts it out as a tweet and sees the feedback on how it goes. Gary was very similar. We talked about earlier, he would post a video on Twitter to see how it did before it went on Instagram. Layla's version of that is Instagram stories. Like if you follow her closely, you'll notice like she usually once or twice a week will post like 1 to 3 tiles that are like a little write-up. It's like whatever she's feeling, whatever she's noticing. If she's noticed a bunch of people have asked her a similar question, or she just got off a call where she was talking about something and she's like fired up about it, she'll write about it in her Instagram story. And so like, you know, like a little thing back to reverse engineering what they prefer. Like originally I was trying to work off of Twitter for Layla, but now I'm like, ah, every time she posts in her stories, screenshot, that's content. Like we are gonna turn that into as much content as possible. That's gonna be a LinkedIn post. That's gonna be a Twitter thread. That's gonna be an instigator for a YouTube video. That's mm-hmm. going to turn into a written post that we put on Instagram, you know, like everything, right? And so it's like, I get excited talking about it because it's like basically just taking an orange and trying to get as much fucking orange juice out of it.
Squeezing it, yeah.
As possible, yeah.
I would do the exact same thing when I was working with Tom Bilyeu. He would write like these long ass captions, and whenever I posted like exceptionally well with that caption, I just like, even sometimes if it didn't, maybe the asset wasn't that good, but I would use the caption. I'd be like, there's gold in here. I would like repurpose it into like 10 different clips, you know, or like use it as like hooks kind of for different clips, or repurpose it on LinkedIn, or, you know, as a post in itself, like use the caption itself as an asset, you know, use that in the story. There's like a million ways to repurpose. Like if you have just like one piece, you can just like turn it into like a dozen. So I love that.
If you could tell, I'm just getting massively excited. Just yeah. A clear indicator that I'm excited is my head starts bobbing. Yeah. Like, dude, like you saying that, like, I love that shit the most. I love yeah. figuring out. And that's something I very much got from Gary is like, how do we take this one thing and turn it into as many different things as possible? And that for me, like a lot of creatives, I think hate that shit. And I think they look at it like, you know, oh, it's not, you know, it's not creative. It's not art. I think it's extremely creative and it is such a fun challenge. And yeah, I fucking love that shit. So you saying that got me fired up.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. So have you guys started building a team around their stuff, or like,
yep.
What does the team look like right now?
Right now, so we work with some awesome vendors. So it's a split of vendors and in-house. Right now we have, we just brought on our first full-time video guy. Quinn's an absolute gangster, just a beast. And by the way, as a side note, the way that came about was we did an Instagram, like Alex's first Instagram live. And within 24 hours, Quinn sent me 4 clips. As a DM.
Similar strategy, it seems like.
Yeah, literally, like almost to a T. Like it was actually like, I was like, wow, this guy reminds me of myself. Like this is awesome. He's awesome. I fucking love the shit out of him. He's just great, hard worker, absolutely killing it. So that's the DNA that we're kind of looking for, is that kind of shit, that way of thinking, that like, what extra can I do to help, you know, and like proactive, all that shit. But yeah, so we have that. And then right now there is a, we have like, so So we have the vendors, and then we have this awesome freelance editor, Trevor, who is just absolutely killing it on like short form, like TikTok, Instagram Reel, YouTube Shorts and stuff. And yeah, man, like just trying to build, we're looking for a like a senior content manager right now. That's like a big role that we are trying to fill, and looking for other videographers, designers, channel managers. You know, I know the audience here is some creatives and shit. So I figured I would do a little ad here to join the team. If you're interested, definitely please hit me up.
Hit you on my IG. Is that the best? Hit you on my IG with five clips of examples of A+ samples.
Yeah, like however you want to approach it, for sure. But I mean, like real in the weeds talk, like if you are interested, please do DM me and have the opening line just be backstage careers. Like I'll look in the request and I'll see that. Like, that would be awesome. Like we are looking for awesome homies. So that would be great. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. What are your responsibilities now? Like you guys are building a team. Like, are you doing more of the strategy stuff? You're like, you guys have a content calendar. It's like, what's going on this and this platform.
Yeah. It's kind of organizing all of the different vendors that are in play right now. So it's like, you know, getting a content calendar set up, you know, making enough clips, to use an example, making enough clips for TikTok and Instagram so that we can get ahead, so that there's like a calendar for like the next, you know, 10 days or whatever, so that we know what we're posting. We're being strategic about timing, topics, subject matter. You know, we're not like doubling up on like the same subject back to back, but it's like we're keeping a little bit of variety, introducing a few more things, working with the vendors on like, what do you need on the ground that I can capture? Or now that Quinn's on the team, like what can Quinn capture? Like what can we get to help you do what you do the best more or better? So it's like doing that, working with Alex and Layla very closely on like strategy and stuff like that. And, you know, constantly pivoting when we need to, you know, focus on this platform. Cool. We get this platform to a good place. All right, let's move over to YouTube, you know, like all kinds of different things and stuff like that. Another big initiative is, you know, just doing some design updates to some of the company branding and stuff like that, which I just love. Like that's shit that I, stepping away from like the
brand,
you
know, building,
juice everything out of the content. I do also love like the kind of traditional side of like coming up with like a brand identity and like website structure, logo, and like working with an amazingly talented designer to like develop all of that. Like, I love that shit too. I fuck with that shit heavy. So like definitely doing that. We're working on getting Layla's podcast launched. So working with the podcast team on that, coming up with like the pilot episode and lots of different things. You know, sometimes like, I mean, a lot of times being the one filming, now that Quinn's on, we're going to be doing that together and stuff. But like, you know, everything from when I started to now, like that has happened pretty much other than interviews they've done, like I've been filming that. So like we do like a session where we batch out a bunch of shorts, we film some YouTube content, you know, write some stuff, all of that. You know, we did like a updated photo shoot recently to get them like new headshots and stuff like that for sending out to different interviews or events they're doing for all the different platforms, a lot of that kind of stuff. But then also definitely working closely on figuring out, because Alex and Layla are, they're similar, but they're also different people and they have different needs. They have different priorities. They have different focuses in the business. So we have to develop different strategies for both of them, you know. So working
on, you said like adapt the systems around the create the talent basically.
Yep, yeah, exactly. And so like even from when I started to now, I'm like, now we're like developing like, ah, okay, I've been here for like 60 days now, like I have a good pulse on like what you guys are doing, who you are, what you do in the business, what your days look like. Now I'm like working on like working with them on developing like, what does the strategy look like for Layla? What does the strategy look like for Alex? Completely different, you know? That's super fun for me. While also, you know, interviewing talent, trying to source talent, working with vendors, reviewing content, you know, giving feedback, all of that.
Dude, I'm excited for you. It sounds like a very exciting challenge.
Oh, dude, it's, who was I just telling? Oh, I was just messaging David. And I was telling him, I was like, dude, it's like, I go to bed, like so excited to wake up the next morning to start work again. Because I'm like, this is, I mean, one, Alex and Layla are amazing to work for. They are incredible leaders. They're incredibly good at making, I have felt so like appreciated and not to sound like, you know, such a fucking millennial, but like, I feel appreciated and seen. Like, it's the little things. They're good at, like, you know, giving me feedback on things that I'm doing well, on things that they'd like to see different, like, which I appreciate. I need feedback. Like, I thrive off of it. Both, like, keep going or let's change this. Like, I love both. And they do that so well. They're really fucking cool. Like, I really like them, like, as humans. Specifically with Layla, actually, I have been, and we talked about this before we started, like, I've been blown away at the onboarding experience. Mm-hmm. And then now me implementing the onboarding experience for, like, our team, it is so thorough. It is, I mean, we were talking about, like, you know, most jobs you start at, like, a lot of times you don't know really what you expect, what the expectations are, what your day-to-day looks like. You have no idea what the first 2 or 3 days, 5 days look like. A lot of times you're waiting on equipment. Like, none of that.
You're just thrown into it, yeah. And here it's like, you had the plan. You said she emailed you like 90 days before you started or something like that, right?
Well, before I started, there was like a 30, 60, 90. So it's like, this is like what we kind of expect. I mean, there's other things too, but these are the top level things we expect in the first 30 days, in the first 60, and first 90. And it, like, it removes all that anxiety that, like, I've had at other positions where I start and it's like, you're just sitting there fucking twiddling your thumbs waiting to hear. There's no clarity. There's no, like, mm-hmm. like, this is what we need. There's no, like, Layla took her, now granted the position, like, this isn't how it works for everyone. Like, I'm doing this now for our team, but, like, she took a full day to onboard me. Like, that's insane. She's so busy. Like, and it was on, actually, this is the funny part too. Like, Alex and Layla are onboarding me on their anniversary. Like, it was their anniversary, but they were onboarding me. Yeah, it's amazing the detail and the attention they put towards the experience for employees, which I think is very overlooked for most people, especially, like, and I think you probably have observed this either through personal experience or seeing homies in situations where it's like, we're kind of like the dog in the corner a lot of the time. And it's like, ah, that's the weird creative person that's like here to like film and make shit, but like, let's kind of pretend they don't exist. They are very much not that way. Like, we go into interviews where there's other videographers and they'll address the video, like, they're like, hi, I'm Alex, I'm Layla. You know, like,
I love that.
I love that too. Like, Gary was the same way. Like, there's just a lot that I admire about them, but definitely, like, the attention to, like, the internal structure and how they treat the team is, like, I've never seen anything like it before anywhere I've been.
I mean, it's not a surprise that they've accomplished the success they have. I mean, it's like a lot of small things like that. What's your vision for the brand? Like, where do you see the brand going over the next 2 years? What are you excited about? Selfishly, what are your goals with, like, where do you want to take the brand, you know?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is my goal, my vision for the brand is always adapting what we are doing as a team to meet whatever they want or are wanting to accomplish.
Uh-huh.
And that changes. Like, I mean, you know, like, one day we might be prioritizing TikTok. And then it's like, you know, we're prioritizing a bucket of content, a line of messaging. And then a week later, it's like, hey, I'm really feeling this now. And it's like, cool, we pivot and map towards that. So biggest thing is building a team that is agile and is in love with constantly changing what our overall directive is. A lot of creatives are terrible at that, understandably so. Like, it's hard. That's not a slam against creators, by the way. That's just like, I think most humans struggle with change, but I think creatives also struggle with ongoing, often change. It's difficult because, like, we end up building patterns, we build systems for, even without realizing it, editors that don't have, like, a checklist, they have a running checklist in their head, right?
100%.
So, like, it's tough to pivot those things, but that's the main goal, is building a team that's agile, that will flex in whatever direction that both
team of ninjas need.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the biggest overarching thing. I wouldn't even necessarily project my vision onto it. It's more, I want to always be able to go wherever they need. Now, one top level thing that we are trying to do is, like, one, we are very much trying to educate entrepreneurs. We're trying to give them information to help them grow and go past sticking points, avoid pains that are typical in the space. But then also, we are a business, and so acquisition.com works with companies that are doing 3 to 10 million, right? Or plus. 3 million plus is really how I would classify it. And so another part of our role is creating content as a lead gen to acquisition.com. Now, obviously, 99%, probably 98, whatever arbitrary percentage I want to come up with right now, of the audience doesn't fit into that bucket, right? That's fine. That's great. We are educating them and maybe we never work with them. Cool. If they do better in life and in their business, it's a win for us. Like, fucking awesome. Now, the companies that are in that pool where they're doing 3 mil plus a year, like, it's a cool opportunity to go from consuming their content to working with them. Like, that's amazing for a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of trust that exists there with the relationship if you consume the content, and there's a lot of like buy into what they believe works and stuff. So that's a big part that we are also mapping towards, is creating content that ultimately does lead people to acquisition.com. Or, and this is the fun part that I love, I love thinking in terms of 20 years, like long tail shit. Alex and I were just talking about like all the dudes and chicks on TikTok that are watching the content right now that are 20, 21 years old. They have a side hustle that maybe they just recently turned it to their full-time thing. And in 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, they, if they keep watching the content and we're helping them grow, maybe they will get to that 3 mil plus mark. Who are they going to want to work with? The couple that helped them get there. And so like, it's cool on so many fronts, you know, even if they don't end up, if they consume for 10 years and they end up doing their own thing and never work with us, awesome. Like if we had any help in them getting to that point, that is a big W. But like, if we get to work with them, that's even a bigger W, you know, because then we can take that shit from 3 to way more, or 10 to way, you know. So that's kind of the ambition of the team. And then just, you know, ultimately blowing them the fuck up, because I think the more people that consume their content, the better. Like, I think teams and companies will have way better structure, way better employee retention if they consume Layla's content. I think that they'll be way smarter in how they structure their internal teams, how they work with their clients, etc. I think that they will have way better offers, way better marketing tactics and sales tactics if they consume Alex's content. I think at a bigger level too, like, Alex is really big on frameworks, right? And like, we have a video actually that we're working on that I'm so excited about. I won't go into it too much, but it is a framework that he recently like kind of came upon that, I mean, it is, for me, it's like changing how I'm generating gratitude in my life. It's very powerful. I mean, it's remarkable. I think it's going to be a banger. So look out for that one. But yeah, like those are kind of the ambitions and goals for the team. And selfishly, to be a part of a team that I think we're going to be huge. I think it's going to be a very big thing.
To be part of a rocket ship, right?
Yeah, it's like that's great. Like, that's really cool. It's amazing. Something that I love too is like, one goal in bringing people onto the team is I want to find out, what does this individual that's going to join our team, what are they trying to accomplish long-term for their career? Cool. Figure that out. How can I, in whatever capacity I have to be able to do it, how can I help them get as close to that point while being on our team as possible? How can I help them, you know, be, you know, they come in as like a 10, let's see if we can notch it up to a 15, you know, like let's, so that when you go on to your next place, like, you are so overly valuable that it's like undeniable. Like, and so that's another goal that I have, is like, I want to pour as much as I can, you know, into everyone that joins our team and reverse engineer what they want. And then how do we help them get there? Like, that's another big one. I love creatives. I have a real heart for them. Anytime that I get to talk to anyone that's, you know, maybe newer in the space, and I'm able to give any sort of nugget based on some real fuck ups that I've made or moments where I've had the right move, like, if that can help them, like, I get so much enjoyment, but what's the right word? I feel fulfilled. I get fulfillment out of that. Hardcore. Like, so much. Even yesterday, I was talking with a couple of characters that are working on an individual's personal brand, pretty prominent person. And like, dude, like, just some things that we were talking about, like, I left afterwards. I was like, yes, like, this is awesome. Like, I love that shit, you know? So that's definitely a big goal for me personally, is like, I want to pour into our team.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Turning into like a mentor yourself. I think that's a great place to wrap up. And like, with the final question actually, which is like, if there's anyone that's watching this, that's not yet in like one of these positions, working behind the scenes, like what advice would you have for them? Like, let's assume they have like no skills and they just like want to go work for someone like the Hormozis or for Gary. Like, what game plan would you give them?
I would figure out why you want to work for them. Are you trying to work for them to hone in certain skills, or are you trying to work for the person that you want to eventually be? So I would first start with that, because that will determine, in my opinion, the approach that you take. In a world where I have zero skills, which I don't think that there's anybody that has zero skills, but I don't have video skills, we'll put it that way, and I want to eventually be my own entrepreneur and build my own business, like I would probably, if it was that route and I wasn't like a natural creative, I would probably try to be an executive assistant. I would be an assistant for somebody. That's where you get like even deeper than a videographer, like you get in deep with somebody as their assistant. Like that is next level. So that's what I would probably go for on that level. If I'm a creative very early on and I'm like first year of doing video, I would probably, one, I would be honest with myself. And I don't mean this in a shitty way. I'm not trying to sound like a dick. I really believe in being very, very real with myself. Look at where you are on the playing field. Like if you're a year into it and you're not that experienced and you're not that good, like, okay, maybe working for free for Gary isn't the right offering, because maybe you're going to end up causing more of a time investment on their end versus what you're trading. Because that's a thing to think about. A lot of people are, and I'm, you know, biggest proponent of offering free work, but you got to look at it from the perspective of the person you're offering to. Is your free work going to end up costing them in time? Like, that's even worse than paying money, right? Like, these are people that are very busy. So what I would do is, if I was really early on, I would do what I call the ladder method. I would look at who do I want to be or who do I want to work for? If it's Gary, if it's Alex, if it's Layla, if it's Noah, if it's whoever, like, cool, this is who I want to work for. Who are the people that are, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rungs down the ladder of that version that I would have an easier time accessing, for one, to communicate and even propose that I exist? I would do that. And that's literally what I did. Like, I worked in high school, I decided I wanted to do video, and I was very passionate about the powerlifting and bodybuilding space. And so like I worked with, you know, I started with my dad. My dad was a bodybuilder and I filmed a video with him, training videos. And then I used that as an example to go to the biggest name bodybuilder in Washington. Cool. Got that. Did some work with him. Then I used that to go to like a pretty prominent person US wide, you know, like nationwide. Worked with them. That was cool. Then it was like, cool. At that point, I had built a portfolio of enough work that showed, and I had built a reputation that it was like, I could hit up, you know, some very prominent individuals in that industry and work with them. And so then I did that, right? And so that's actually, that is the approach that I would take. I would start small.
So stair step method.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, like I'm also all down for like reaching for the stars and shit. Like I wouldn't say do one in place of the other. I would just say do both.
Make sure your shit is good as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Build up that offering that you have and make sure that like you know, what is that whole saying? And it's so cliche, but like luck is when, you know, opportunity
meets
preparation. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, but I genuinely believe in that. So like, you know, don't shoot your shot maybe too early with the person that you want. Maybe build up that preparation in order to have a good chance with that big shot is how I would go about it. AKA it's what I did. I wouldn't tell anybody anything other than what I did. You know?
Love it, man. Thank you. Great advice. Thanks for sharing your story. It was like, I'm sure it's super helpful to a lot of people listening. You can follow Caleb on Instagram. You want to share your handle?
Yeah. First off, real quick, I do hope it was valuable. Like that's always the hope. I massively appreciate if anybody made it to this point of hearing me talk. I mean, like, good Lord, I won't be able to make it this far into the episode. So
like, this is great, man.
That's awesome. But yeah, like if anybody wants to reach out or anything like that, I'm on pretty much all the platforms, but the only one I'm really active on right now, because I'm focused on this, is Instagram. So you can hit me up there at Caleb Ralston. It's Caleb. And then my last name, if you can't figure it out, then no biggie. But yeah, I'm on Instagram and I'm pretty active over there. Hit me up, throw a DM. Like I said, like head it up with Backstage Careers and then I will see that immediately.
Hell yeah. All right. Thanks, man.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.